Right then, said the sergeant, stepping back. Now today, my lucky lads, we're going to learn about something we call marching. They left Plune to the wind and rain. About an hour after they'd vanished around a bend in the valley, the shed they'd slept in mysteriously burned down. There have been better attempts at marching, and they have been made by penguins. Sergeant Jackram brought up the rear in the cart, shouting instructions, but the recruits moved as if they'd never before had to get from place to place. The sergeant yelled the swagger out of their steps, stopped the cart, held an impromptu lesson in the concepts of right and left for a few of them, and by degrees they left the mountains. Polly remembered those first few days with mixed feelings. All they did was march, but she was used to long walks and her boots were good. The trousers ceased to chafe. A watery sun took the trouble to shine. It wasn't cold. It would have been fine if it hadn't been for the corporal. She wondered how Strappy, whose nose was now about the same colour as a plum, was going to handle the situation between them. It turned out that he intended to deal with it by pretending it hadn't happened, and also by having as little as possible to do with Polly. He didn't spare the others, although he was selective. Maledict was left strictly alone, as was Carborundum. Whatever else Strappy was, he wasn't suicidal. And he was bewildered by Igor. The little man did whatever stupid chores Strappy found for him, and he did them quickly, competently, and with every impression of someone happy in his work. And that left the corporal completely mystified. He'd pick on the others for no reason at all, harangue them until they made some trivial mistake, and then bawl them out. His target of choice was Private Goom, better known as Wazza, who was stick-thin and round-eyed and nervous and said grace loudly before meals. By the end of the first day, Strappy could make him throw up just by shouting. And then he'd laugh. Only he never really laughed, Polly noted. What you got instead was a sort of harsh gargling of spit at the back of the throat, a noise like... The presence of the man cast a damper on everything. Jackram seldom interfered. He often watched Strappy, though, and once, when Polly caught his eye, he winked. On the first night, a tent was shouted by Strappy off the cart and shouted up, and after a supper of stale bread and sausage had been shouted, they were shouted in front of a blackboard to be shouted at. Across the top of the board, Strappy had written, "What we are fighting for," and down the side he had written, "One, two, three."
"Right, pay attention," he said, slapping the board with a stick. "There's some who think that you boys ought to know why we are fighting this war, OK? Well, here it comes. Point one. Remember the town of Lips? It was viciously attacked by Slovenian troops a year ago. They..."
"Sorry, but I thought we attacked Lips, didn't we, Corporal? Last year, they said," Shufti began.
"Are you trying to be smart, Private Manacle?" Strappy demanded, naming the biggest sin in his personal list.
"Just want to know, Corporal," said Shufti.
He was stocky, running to plump, and one of those people who bustled about being helpful in a mildly annoying way, taking over small jobs that you wouldn't have minded doing for yourself. There was something odd about him, although you had to bear in mind he was currently sitting next to Wazza, who had enough odd for everybody and was probably contagious. And had caught Strappy's eye. There was no fun in having a go at Shufti, but Wazza now, Wazza was always worth a shout.
"Are you listening, Private Goom?" he screamed.
Wazza, who had been sitting and looking up with his eyes closed, jerked awake.
"Corporal?"
he quavered as Strappy advanced.
"I said, are you listening, Goom?"
"Yeah, Corporal,"
moaned Wazza, shaking with fear.
"Really? And what did you hear, may I ask?"
said Strappy in a voice of treacle and acid.
"Nothing, Corporal. She's not speaking."
Strappy took a deep, delighted breath of evil air.
"You are a useless, worthless pile of..."
There was a sound. It was a small, nondescript sound, one that you heard every day, a noise that did its job but never expected to be, for example, whistled or part of an interesting sonata. It was simply the sound of stone scraping on metal. On the other side of the fire, Jackram lowered his cutlass. He had a sharpening stone in his other hand. He returned their group stare.
"What? Oh, just maintaining the edge," he said innocently. "Sorry if I interrupted your flow there, Corporal. Carry on."
A basic animal survival instinct came to the corporal's aid. He left the trembling Wazza alone and turned back to Shufti.